success of Easter Sunday. Acts chapter 12 reminds us, when life feels dark, dangerous, and out of control, God is present and at work. Nothing is impossible or too hard for him, and he meets us in all the impossible situations and places. God is God of the impossible. He is the risen Lord of Easter. This morning in the talk, I'm going to draw 3 points from the reading. Firstly, in Acts chapter 11, verse 21, the writer of Acts says, the Lord's hand was with them and a great number. Sorry, I'm going too quickly. My mistake. I'm going to draw 3 points from this reading. Firstly, God moves through persecution. Secondly, God moves through prayer. Thirdly, God moves through powerful direct intervention. God moves through persecution. I hope this passage encourages you as individuals today with the situations and trials that you may be going through or will face this year. I hope this passage will encourage you to pray for the global church as our persecuted family around the world faces humanly impossible situations. To put today's reading in context, it's around AD 44. King Agrippa I, the nephew of Herod Antipas, who beheaded John the Baptist. His granddad was Herod the Great, the one who ordered the killings of the babies and the time of Jesus' birth. Not a great family history tree, is it? In the previous chapter, we see persecution breaking out after the murder of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. The church is scattered by persecution as the kingdom of God moves into new territory, new places and new spaces, and it's unstoppable. In Acts chapter 11, verse 21, Luke, the writer of Acts, says, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. But persecution's ramping up. In chapter 12, Herod has James the disciple put to death with the sword. And now he has Peter arrested and put in prison, ready for execution. Herod was waiting till after the Passover as he wanted to keep the Jews on his side and not kill Peter during a Jewish festival. In verse 4, Peter's been handed over to 16 guards, 4 squads of 4 soldiers. Not much chance of escaping from them, was there? What's his crime? Being a follower of Jesus, and he's treated like a dangerous criminal on death row. Verse 6, it's the night before Peter's trial. And what's Peter doing? He's sound asleep between two soldiers, bound with 2 chains and sentries stand guard at the entrance. I don't think I could have slept peacefully that night. The situation of persecution is the same around the world today. Authoritative countries, state surveillance, a network of spies and secret police in places like China, North Korea, Eritrea, Myanmar, to name just a few. The enemies of the church have one aim, to make it impossible to be a Christian. Open Doors estimates that more than 388 million Christians face high levels of persecution and discrimination because of their faith. That's 1 in 7 Christians worldwide, 1 in 5 Christians in Africa, and 2 in 5 Christians in Asia. But remember, the pains and chains led to the gains and growth in the church 2,000 years ago. Wherever the gospel goes, it grows. Nothing and no one can stop the church growing. God can use persecution and our suffering for the good and growth of the church, of his church. Even what you might be going through, persecution or suffering, is not the work of a loving God. It's the work of the enemy, Satan. Yet in God's hand, the church in Acts is scattered by persecution and the kingdom of God moves into new territory, new places and new spaces. Does God move through persecution today? Let me tell you the true story from North Korea, the most dangerous place in the world to be a Christian. It's number one out of 20 of the last 21 years. Even owning a Bible in North Korea is enough to get you and your whole family thrown into prison for life. Yet, Open Doors estimates there are more than 400,000 secret Christians in North Korea, risking their lives to follow Jesus. Thousands of believers are praying in whispers, asking God to do the impossible once again. Cho, an evangelist in North Korea, known as Evangelist Cho, spends every day going into the forests bordering North Korea and China to look for North Koreans who've made one of the most treacherous journeys in the world by escaping from their country in North Korea across the River Yangtze into China to find food and work. Why does Cho do this? He says, I want to meet as many of these people as I can, because with God, anything is possible. These escapees are suspicious of strangers, as they've been told that spies are looking to find people like them. If discovered, they'd be sent back to North Korea to face interrogation, imprisonment, and even possibly death. When Cho finds someone hiding in the forest, he befriends them by offering them a bag of food, water, a tarpaulin, and blankets. Then he arranges to meet them the following night to bring them more food and water. When they ask Cho why is he doing this, why is he giving them food, he tells them it is because of Jesus and what he has done. The second time, he gives them a Bible. Many give the Bible back, as North Koreans have been told by their government Christians want to kidnap them. But Cho tells them the Bible is theirs to keep. Read it or don't read it, he tells them. It's up to you. One day, he gave a Bible to a couple of North Koreans hiding in the forest, Yoon Young and Cho Ho. They rejected the Bible, but took it away with them. Next time he came across Yoon Young and Cho Ho, Yoon Young rushed up to him saying, I've been reading this book you gave us. Then yesterday, I had a dream, and a person called me by name. I think it was this Jesus your book talks about. And now I want to know more about him. Cho explained the gospel to them, and he took them to a safe house in China, supported by Open Doors, where they were looked after, fed, and invited to learn more about Jesus. They became Christians and chose to make the same dangerous journey, but this time to go back to North Korea from China to share their newfound faith. A few months later, Cho received a coded message from the couple saying, Our family has grown to five. It meant they'd shared the Christian message with three North Koreans who now all become Christians. Why am I sharing this dangerous story? Late last year, Cho died from a long-term illness, and he is now in glory. He said, My purpose in life is to save souls. What a shining example of how God moves through persecution. Secondly, God moves through prayer. The drama of the story of Acts shifts from a prison cell to a prayer meeting. The church responds with fervent, unceasing prayer in verse 5. This prayer meeting in Acts reminds us that the prayer of God's people are powerful. It's a reminder of where the power base of the world is. There is a throne in heaven, and it's not empty. It's not Herod's throne or any other egotistic, despotic leader, but the throne belongs to Jesus, and he reigns. Through prayer, we join with what God is doing around the world in some of the most impossible places to be a Christian, like North Korea. Many North Koreans are encountering Jesus through signs and wonders. One North Korean Christian who escaped from North Korea said this, If you could see what God is doing in my country, you would never have any doubts ever again. The Holy Spirit is at work thanks to your prayers. They see the reality of Easter and the risen Lord and the message of hope in the Christian faith. Brother Andrew, founder of Open Doors, reminds us. Brother Andrew, Open Doors founder, reminds us. He said, our prayers can go where we cannot. There are no borders, no prison walls, no doors that are closed to us when we pray. While many things may seem impossible from a human standpoint, with prayer, there are no impossibilities. I don't know if any of you have ever read Brother Andrew's book, became a world bestseller called God's Smuggler. If you remember the 1960s and 70s, Brother Andrew took Bibles into the communist world behind the communist curtain, into countries like Russia, Poland, Czechoslovakia, and all those countries of the Eastern Bloc. He had a blue VW Beetle, and he prayed an amazing prayer as he arrived at the border post to go into these communist countries, his car packed with Bibles. He said, Lord, he said, you who made eyes see when you were on earth, now please make seeing eyes blind. And with that prayer, he took thousands and thousands of Bibles into the communist bloc in the 1960s. If you haven't read the book, I've got one free copy. First one, come and see me at the table afterwards if you want to read an amazing story. Pastor Barnabas, remember last year I told you about Pastor Barnabas, who was living in a displacement camp in Benue State in northern Nigeria. As he walked through the makeshift camp, Pastor Barnabas pointed out the endless scenes of plastic and cardboard-built tents. Pastor Barnabas says, each and every one of these people you see here, they're all Christians. They're all displaced because of the violence. We only live here because it is too dangerous to live outside these camps. But the pastor added, not only in Nigeria where these things are happening, but in the whole of Africa. But the news media don't care about it. Politicians don't talk about it. Governments don't debate about it. Global politicians don't discuss it. Nobody bothers about it. We are forgotten and disregarded. That was last year, but there is an amazing story following on from that. Pastor Barnabas, his wife Joy, and their eight children lived in a makeshift tent that was smaller than a double mattress. But not anymore, thanks to the generosity and prayers of Open Doors supporters. In the last 12 months, Pastor Barnabas and his family have recently moved to a new home near the camp. Pastor Barnabas said, we can move freely here. We have chairs, we have tables, curtains. I have a personal room with my wife. I have a room for my children. We have a kitchen, a toilet, and a water system. We can easily cook, even when it's raining. He adds, thank you to all the brothers and sisters in Open Doors all over the world, but particularly in the West. He said, thank you to my brothers and sisters who've been a part of this. Thank you for your prayers. May Almighty God bless you in Jesus' name. Your support is helping the family of Pastor Barnabas in many ways. As well as providing a house, three of his children now attend school and his wife, a designer, has a shop. Pastor Barnabas is still ministering to thousands of believers in the camp, supporting those who've relied on his kindness and wisdom for many years. He feels strengthened and reinvigorated in his ministry. But he says the need remains enormous. Millions of believers are still displaced or vulnerable. Pastor Barnabas' story is shared by 16.2 million Christians in sub-Saharan Africa, forced to flee for their lives. Many have been driven from their ancestral homes by Islamic extremists. Their churches have been destroyed. 14 sub-Saharan countries in Africa are in the Open Doors World Watch list of the top most 50 persecuted countries in the world. To put that figure of 16.2 million in context, it's the whole of the population of London, Birmingham, Manchester and Liverpool put together combined. Northern Nigeria is the epicenter of violent persecution against Christians. According to Open Doors, 9 out of 10 Christians killed for their faith in 2024 were in sub-Saharan Africa, and 70% of those deaths alone were in Nigeria. What can you do about it? What can I do about it? Obviously pray, but also sign the Arise Africa petition. Last year I asked you to sign it. We wanted by August 2026 to have 1 million signatures globally on the Arise Africa petition to send to Keir Starmer, the UK Prime Minister, to the UK government, the United Nations, and the African Union. We're more than halfway there now. We've got 534,000 signatures. We're well on the way to getting the 1 million by autumn this year. The petition is calling for peace, justice, and restoration for vulnerable Christians in sub-Saharan Africa. We want to stop them having to face violent and extreme persecution and to stop having to live in terrible conditions in a displacement camp. We want to ensure they're treated with dignity and respect. We want to show that we, as Christians in the West, care for our brothers who are persecuted, brothers and sisters who are persecuted. Thank you for those who signed the Arise Africa petition last year. For those who didn't, weren't here or couldn't, please come and sign the petition afterwards on the table on my right here. Thirdly and finally, God moves through powerful, direct intervention. Back to Acts and another incredible story. An angel appears in prison, chains fall, gates open, and Peter walks free. Nothing can stop God coming. Keep coming to him with your impossible prayers. Nothing can stop him moving in your life and in your local church. Let me tell you another incredible story of how God moves through powerful, direct intervention. Not from 2,000 years ago, but from today. This story is from Somalia, the second most difficult country in the world to be a Christian. Somalia, officially called the Federal Republic of Somalia, is at the easternmost country in continental Africa. Ethiopia to the west, Djibouti to the northwest, Kenya to the southwest, the Gulf of Aden to the north, and the Indian Ocean to the east. All governments advise against all travel there due to extreme risks of terrorism, kidnapping, violent crime, civil unrest, and armed conflict. Certainly, it's not advertised in any of the package holiday brochures, I can assure you. Awais is from an Islamic background. His father is a Muslim cleric. When Awais, by chance, came across a Christian radio station one evening involved with Open Doors, he listened to a Somali talk about Jesus Christ. He became fascinated, listened regularly, and he even asked them to send him a New Testament. When he told his father what he was reading, his father said chillingly, "I cannot stop you reading a Bible, but if you become a Christian, I will kill you." When Awais became a Christian 3 years later, his family threw him out and refused to have anything to do with him. For 7 years, Awais was on his own and became increasingly overwhelmed by loneliness. But incredibly, he said, "The more I was threatened, the closer I got to Jesus." His desperation drove him to talk to someone he thought must be a Christian. That was a huge risk for our wife's safety. And although, because there were incredibly long odds in finding another Christian, another believer in Somalia, a country with so few believers. But through his step of faith, he found a fellow believer. God moved him to help find another believer. Together, they started looking for more believers in Somalia, and their community grew to 14 believers. "It was the happiest time since I'd come to the Lord," said Awais. However, it wasn't long before members of the church began to receive visions of persecution. One believer said he had heard a voice from a bright light saying to him, Do not be afraid. You will not be eliminated. You will not be wiped out. Some of you will remain. You will become stronger. One by one, the Christians were hunted down and killed. In the end, only two of the 14 believers in that church remained alive, A. Weiss and another believer. That is 86% of the church were martyred. Imagine that happening in a UK church today. What A. Weiss had experienced was so painful, he decided to leave Somalia and he began theological training. Today, he is working in biblical translation and pastoral care for Somalia believers in another country in the Horn of Africa, helped by Open Doors. Every day, God is doing the impossible all over the world. He's moving through persecution. He's moving through prayer. And he's moving through direct intervention. And your prayers and support individually and as a church can strengthen the church in the world, in the countries where, logically speaking, it shouldn't exist. Do pray for the impossible places to be a Christian. Come and talk to us at the Open Doors table on my right after the service. As A. Weiss in Somalia says, the Holy Spirit can penetrate every wall. He is the God of the impossible. Do be encouraged to take that away with you this morning. Amen, and thank you for listening.
Amen, indeed. Let's pray. Again, Lord, we are amazed at what you're doing in the world. And when you hear these things, we're also amazed at what you do in the people who belong to you when necessary. And I can just pray that you'd fill us with the same strength, the same perseverance, the same faith that these people have. It's so hard to imagine it, Lord, when our lives are relatively peaceful and comfortable. But Lord, give us this kind of faith. Help us to stand firm. And thank you, Lord, that you have promised that one day all this will finish. One day you will return in triumph. One day we will be partying all day, because all evil will be gone and death will just be a memory. We thank you for that. We know that you're on the throne, and one day it will all be sorted out and taken care of, set to rights. And we thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So yes, please take the opportunity to speak to John after the service. Have a look at the literature. Sign that petition if you haven't already done it. I think I did it last year. I mean, I would hope I did. But if you didn't, please do so. We're going to sing together our final song, which is also actually on the video, because I don't think many of us know it very well. But it kind of starts off with the fact that the world is in a bit of a mess. Creation is groaning. But the Lord is on the throne. Jesus is worthy. The image comes from the book of Revelation, if you don't recognize it, but doesn't matter that much. He's worthy. So stand if you can, and let's sing.